You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jane and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is
what
it that we do, sir?
We give the people what they want.
We have an NBA star that may be on the move. We have Antonio Brown officially with the Bucks, but we start with tonight's NFL game kicking off week 9 between the Packers and what is left of the 49ers due to injury and COVID test and close contact. Look at all of the 49ers that will not be playing this evening. It is not just a long list. It's a long list of impactful players. Jalen, do you think they should go ahead and play this game this evening?
We need to cue the large professor. I'm looking at the front door. All of those players that are so very notable, not available to perform for the 49ers. But Jacoby, the game must go on. You don't want to interrupt the schedule if you don't have to. And you definitely don't want to interrupt the paychecks if you don't have to. In particular, canceling a Thursday night paycheck for the league. So if you can put 53 people in uniform and you're the 49ers, you're going to do it. However, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you got to beat the brakes off of them tonight. That's the trade-off. If you're the Green Bay Packers, you got to take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a revenge game for the Packers, talking about, of course, the NFC Championship game last year. But however, the Packers have some COVID problems of their own. They'll be maybe without Aaron Jones in the running back position, but also Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon because of some positive testing. They are going to start at the running back position with Tyler Irving and Dexter Williams. Jalen, even with all these running backs potentially not available for the Packers, does Aaron Rodgers still get it done?
I know that Aaron Jones is questionable, but you're hurting my heart talking about him like he's not going to play. And for the Green Bay Packers, so many times people try to talk about their issues and assume that they're mostly on the offensive side of the football. When you start talking about the top quarterbacks in the NFL, you're not going to count too many people before you get to Aaron Rodgers. When you start talking about the top wide receivers in the game, you're not going to count too many people before you get to Devontae Adams, who just had almost 200 yards the other day. When you talk about top running backs in the league, you're not going to count too far before you get to Aaron Jones. They actually have a set of triplets. Their problem is their run defense. Did you say that they played against the 49ers last year in the NFC Championship?
Yes.
They got steamrolled.
They did.
By the run game. And they just got steamrolled for 3 touchdowns by Dalvin Cook on the ground and 1 in the air. That's the issue for the Green Bay Packers. If they can shore up their defense, they now have a chance to catapult themselves like the teams that we talked about yesterday that you see, like the Seattle Seahawks and the Bucks that have basically separated themselves for the rest of the pack.
Well, we look forward to watching this one. Maybe Nick Mullins has some tricks up his sleeve, but we just talked about all the weapons that the Green Bay Packers have. However, nobody has offensive weapons like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have added to that long list of offensive weapons with Antonio Brown, who officially practiced with them. He's living with Tom Brady, and he will play Sunday against the Saints. Where are your expectations for Brown and how they will use him?
Nobody has more offensive weapons. The mobility of Patrick Mahomes is on line one, the defending Super Bowl champions. I know you probably mean in the NFC. And the rich just get richer because for Antonio Brown, you go from being out of the game and being ostracized in a lot of ways to almost being like J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters for the Lakers with a chance to get a ring. That's how things can change in sports. He's not going to be called upon to be their number one guy. That's Evans. They're still going to throw it to Gronk in the red zone. But when Godwin is in and out of the lineup dealing with injuries, Antonio Brown has the talent to step up. But they shouldn't, to me, be so always in particular during the regular season, so focused on like always airing it out with a 40 plus year old quarterback. I'd be content every now and then with my defense to play some ball control and turn around and hand it off to Leonard Fournette. That's the one thing they got to make sure that adding this other weapon doesn't force them to do, and that's get away from playing complementary football.
Yes, I mean, they have so many weapons. They've got Fournette, as you mentioned, and Jones, and they've got Godwin, who's coming back, and Evans, and Brate, and Howard, and Gronk, who's starting. He's got three straight games with a touchdown. They are really set up to succeed, and I predict that they will win against the Saints in that big game because we all remember what happened in week one. But Tom Brady feels just much more comfortable now under center for the Bucs than he was in week one. Now, we're talking about some of the top teams, but let's talk about some struggling teams. The Houston Texans. Seems like just last season, they were winning playoff games against the Bills and going up against the Chiefs and leading. And now they only have one win. And J.J. Watt, their vocal leader, said he's not looking to rebuild. He's looking to go after a championship. Jalen, what do you think about J.J.'s sentiments about his season?
It was all good just a week ago. And this is one of those things about being the player. You can say now that I'm looking for championships, but as an organization, when we look at your productivity the first few years and then the latter few years, based on the amount of money that we pay you, in comparison to other great defensive linemen like Bosa in San Francisco, whose defense helped lead them to the Super Bowl basically last year, or Aaron Donald, who gets double teamed virtually on every play. J.J. Watt productivity earlier in his career versus what he's getting now is just tailed off. And he's supposed to be the version of Deshaun Watson for the defense, but that productivity has not been what it was to start his career.
Yeah, if you take a look at the numbers, Jalen, J.J. Watt just isn't the same productive player that he used to be. When you look at these numbers, what does that tell you?
It tells me that a guy that's dealt with injury and is not elite at the position currently. And that's what that squad was going to need. And by the way, Bill O'Brien, man, he messed this roster up. Shouldn't they have Clowney on the team to go with him? Like, they had young players. They had the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, on the team. Let him go. He went to KC and won a Super Bowl and became one of the leaders of their defense. So the decision-making, along with Watt's productivity not being what it used to be, is one of the reasons why the Houston Texans will be giving up their high picks this year to another squad like the Miami Dolphins.
Well, there is some good news for the Texans. If you take a look at their next four games, they go up against the Jags, who they've already beat, the Browns, the Patriots, and the always terrible Detroit Lions. So of those four games, they'll probably get three wins, I want to say, because the Lions, that's a guaranteed win, obviously. And then you've got the Jags, the Browns, and the Pats, who are all trending in the wrong direction. So things might turn around for the Texans, but not to the point where they'll be competing for a championship as J.J. Watt wants to do. Now, Jalen, you and I both watch football all Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night, and there's something that really jumped out to me. Every single Sunday, I see rookie receivers making an impact. Take a look at this list of productive rookie receivers, especially at the top. Look at these numbers. Jefferson, Lamb, Higgins, Claypool. Look at that. Over 500 yards, three TDs, two TDs, three TDs. Claypool's got five TDs. Jalen, what do you think about this particular receiving draft class that's been so impactful?
Deep class, and Jalen Reagor of Philadelphia wasn't even on there because he's dealt with a lot of injuries. It has been a deep class, Jacoby, but the wide receiver position doesn't always have that productivity translate into wins. It's great to see Claypool be productive the way he's been for the Steelers, even had a multiple touchdown game and whatnot. But a lot of times for those young receivers, they were coming to bad teams. So Kirk Cousins and Jefferson, yeah, he's getting the productivity that Diggs used to have, but they're not necessarily achieving their goals. It's great to see Burrow and T. Higgins both link up, letting us know that they're going to be a duo to be reckoned with for a long time. And CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys, after you pay Amari Cooper and you pay Zeke, while he's a terrific young talent, that might not have been the player that the Dallas Cowboys necessarily needed to make their defense better, because it's historically one of the worst in the game. But I agree with you. This wide receiver, young wide receiver core have been fantastic so far to start the season.
You do make a good point that Claypool is obviously on an undefeated team, but the rest of these high-profile, high-performing receivers are all on teams with less than a 500 record. Jalen, sometimes there's video that needs to be broken down in detail, so you and I need to go to the table. Jalen, take a look at this video. I love it so much. Look at this young basketball player learning the game, right? He just wants to get a dunk off. Nope.
Finish
block
that.
Shot.
Oh, you got it rejected.
Nope. Block shot. So he changes his strategy.
He went
at
strong.
One point.
Those some nice cars watch he got
boom
at the crib. Oh.
He punched
and then
him.
He dunked it after that. You know, a mind game is a terrible thing to waste. And sometimes they say youth is wasted on the young. Not in that case. Oh, you want a gold 10? You want to block everything I try to dunk and think that's making me tough? I'm going to hit you in a place to show you that you ain't so tough. That's one of my favorite videos of all time. We got to get that young fella a J&J hoodie.
I love this kid. I love this kid so much. Oh, you're going to block my shot for 13?
He got a fat crib.
I know he got two cars. He got a car and a motorcycle.
Young fella, look at that TV. Look at that TV on the wall.
He's living.
Young fella eating good during the pandemic.
He's got a Jordan sweater on too. He's living a better life than me. Shout out to that little man. And also, shout out to that father or uncle or mentor or whoever that was, because that's the way you do it. That is the way you do it. Jalen, there are trade rumors about one of the unappreciated but extremely impactful players in the NBA. We'll tell you who that is and where they might end up right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Drew Holiday is an underappreciated NBA basketball player. He gets you buckets. He's a great defender. He is a dog on defense. And he is now with the New Orleans Pelicans. However, there is a report from The Athletic that the Pelicans are openly discussing trades that would move Drew Holiday. A couple teams that people are discussing that he could potentially end up at are the Nuggets and the Heat, two contenders. Do you think they should move him? Do you think they will move him? Where do you think he would end up?
I think he will get moved. There's only one basketball. And with the Pelicans, it's going to either be in Zion or Brandon Ingram's hands. And rightfully so. Both of those two terrific young stars deserve the opportunity to initiate the offense. And you still want to see what you have in Lonzo Ball. And you want to give him a chance to potentially be your lead guard along with Hart to give them more opportunities. And so for Holiday, that's the best thing for him to get moved to a team that's a contending team that has multiple guards but doesn't necessarily have that one. And another team that came to mind when you just said that was the Milwaukee Bucks. Like for the Denver Nuggets, Gary Harris didn't have a really good year, and Monte Morris had a really good year, but maybe you could parlay both of those guys into Drew Holiday. For the Miami Heat, you're going to lose Goran Dragic because he's a free agent. Tyler Hero played really good minutes this year, But do they have their point guard of the future over the next couple of seasons? And so if you're them, you are in the business of trying to add defense and toughness. Drew Holiday will give you that going with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler.
I mean, we'll first discuss the Nuggets. I think you hit the nail on the head there. Is we thought that Gary Harris and Jamal Murray would be their backcourt of the future. However, Gary Harris, he struggled last year. He really did. He plays good defense, but he had struggled shooting the ball, especially in the bubble. I think if you have Holiday and Murray in the backcourt, that's a really nice complementary pair for each other, and that puts them sort of up at the upper echelon of the Western Conference teams. But the Heat, Eastern Conference is stacked at the top. Like, there's a 4 or 5 teams I could see coming out of the East, and I think if you add Drew Holiday to the Heat, you replace Goran Dragic with Drew Holiday, that really puts them, again, in the conversation to win the East. But but we talk about them adding Drew Holiday, but you have to, you know, give up something to get Drew Holiday. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of deals they're putting on the table in these discussions. I want you to take us behind the curtain for a second, though. When these reports come out, how does it happen? And does it come from the team side? Does it come from the player side? Maybe an agent? Does the team want it out there so maybe they'll get some new deals? Is this a strategic leak, Jalen?
It's a strategic report for a few different sides. First off, from a team aspect, Drew Holiday's been a model citizen and played great basketball for them and being an all-star. And so if you're going to move him, you don't want to shock your fan base by just them waking up tomorrow and it happened. So now you're getting them used to it. You change the coach. You start talking about what you want to do with the roster. And then you let them start to believe that it may be in the team's best interest that he's not a part of the situation going forward. And then if you're the player and or the agent, you want them to know that your time is expired where you are. Drew Holiday's time has expired with the Pelicans. So if he's going to leave, he definitely want to go to a contender, especially after he just saw his brother Anthony Davis go run with LeBron and win a championship. And so based on that, he would love to be in the situation. So it happens from all sides, from the player agent side, from the team and management side as well.
Well, one thing I saw from the Pelicans in the bubble was they played absolutely no defense, especially protecting the rim. They were just getting guys going to the lane and getting layups all day on them, and losing Drew Holiday certainly doesn't make them better on the defensive end. We have some other news in the NBA, Jalen. Remember, Game 6 of the NBA Finals was on October 11th, and now it looks like they are close to a deal that would start the season on December 22nd. It would be a 72-game season. Jalen, what do you think about this report and how quickly they want to turn around the season?
This is one of those things you don't want to not take advantage of the Christmas Day stage. That has been real estate that the NBA has owned for so very long. And as somebody that has worked on Christmas Day every season since 2007, it's really important as you grow from having one East Coast game to one West Coast game to 4 teams playing until now 5 total games and 10 teams playing. You want your fan base to see your players that day. The problem is, if you're going to have your teams play, you need the marquee guys to be there. And LeBron James is the marquee player in the NBA. So when you're counting down those days, that's the player that you're talking about going into the 18th year with his 4 championships. So what I believe is going to happen is you have a player like LeBron and a team like the Lakers. Yeah, you start on the 22nd. You obviously play on the 25th. And then you idle that team scheduled all the way down. You idle it all the way down as much as possible and get yourself towards MLK Day. And then now you expect players like a LeBron and teams like the Lakers and the Heat that made it to the finals to kind of play that abbreviated 72-game schedule almost as it's laid out. But don't think because it starts on the 22nd, because you want to get ready for the 25th, it's going to be full throttle for a guy like LeBron James, and rightfully so. His body's going to need that extra time to heal.
Jalen, I have some bad news for your Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford is on the COVID reserve list. However, he has not tested positive. He was in close contact with a high-risk person. That was on Monday. So there's a protocol where you get 5 days. If he can be negative results for 5 days, he would be available to face the Vikings. Well, how do you think this impacts the Lions' tilt against the Vikings on Sunday?
Oh, no Stafford, no win. Miami, when they take out Fitzpatrick, their backup is Tua. When the Lions take out Matthew Stafford, our backup is Chase Daniel. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to need Matthew Stafford in the lineup. He still continues to perform like a top 10 player. And I want him to go into the Hall of Fame. The only way that's going to happen, if he get to a winner. I'm glad that he threw a game winner to Hockenson a couple of games ago, who's on my fantasy team. So that's another reason, Jacoby, not only will my squad be without its quarterback, my fantasy tight end may be without him. And oh no, I need this weekend so bad because I've been struggling a little bit.
Yes, you have. I hear about it all the time off wax. Jalen, we have some news about Baker Mayfield. The Browns executive VP and general manager Andrew Berry said that Baker's done everything that we've asked of him during the first 8 weeks. And it's worth mentioning that they would have the opportunity by May to pick up his fifth-year option, which would be for about $26 million. Jalen, based on what you've seen in the salary cap sport, would you pay Baker Mayfield $26 million to be your quarterback?
I'm not playing Baker Mayfield $26 million next season, not after what I've seen early in his career. So they're going to have to figure a way if they want him to continue to audition to do it at a different number.
Jalen, when we come back, I have a video that I can't wait to show you. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Pac-12 is back, and we've got a big game at 7:30 Saturday on ABC, Stanford against Oregon. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. You see those shorts on Ryan Fitzpatrick? Those are a tribute to his teammate Isaiah Ford that was traded away. Jalen, would you pay tribute to someone in this manner?
Well, asking me that, a member of the Fab Five, shout to my brothers, that'll go against everything that we helped start. So not gonna be able to do it.
Like, those weren't just short shorts. Those are really short shorts. And then, I mean, that. See why they gotta do that to us? But look at my arms, though. Look at my arms. I like that. I don't like the shorts, but I do like my arms. I've been in the gym. We will be back tomorrow, ESPN at 2 p.m. Dan Le Batard is next.
Too kind.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is recording podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen, a couple things we need to discuss. Number one, what's up with the Elmer Fudd hat? I didn't say anything during the TV show, but I got to bring it up now. You just woke up this morning and decided I'm going to wear the Elmer Fudd hat. Today's the day I wear the Elmer Fudd hat.
Well, it's a new season, it is fall, and it's time for layers. You know, shirts on top of, sweaters on top of shirts, and blazers with turtlenecks, and hats with wool, and boots. It's just that time of year. And so, not only did I want to represent something that said Detroit proudly, I wanted to rock my favorite Detroit hat that represents my favorite team of all time in any sport. That's my Detroit basketball Pistons.
Well,
and
so
I didn't realize when I sat down.
I know you didn't pay for that hat.
I actually got it in the owner's suite at one of the games. In the closet.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
But I was that dude, to be honest with you. I took like four or five hats. I took a snapback.
Did they know you took the hats?
I took a fitted. I took this and I took a Scully. I took one of each.
Did they know?
Rest in peace to my
love?
Late brother, William Rose. My OG, my big brother. I miss him so much. He was with me. And you know he was down like four flat tires. I was like, big bro, go on and throw these in the backpack. I don't want to walk out of the closet and be walking around the game with four hats in my hand looking crazy.
So you didn't pay for
so
it. You stole the hats
and I
from
slid
the
them to the side. So I pointed them out and I slid them to the side. And then when everybody's eating their hors d'oeuvres and chilling, having their beverages, big bro went through them in the bag.
See, I knew there was a story to it. I know you so well. I was like, you know, you definitely didn't go to the store. You didn't go to the team store and put down your credit card and get the Elmer Fudd Pistons hat. Stole it from the owner's suite. Man, how much you make is public. It's public information. You can Google it. How much money you made in the league. You can afford a hat, dog. See, you didn't just steal one hat.
But I wanted to get one for every season.
Multiple hats.
One for every season. You had to get one for every season.
Jalen Rose, you're such a unique individual. So we did something very special yesterday. Jalen joined me and my rec league basketball team in some pickup. But not just that. It was great, great, great time. So fun to play basketball, my friends. My favorite activity in the world. Jalen showed up in a ski mask and played the first two games wearing a ski mask. Were you trying to hide your identity? Were you trying to stay warm? Like, this dude's really hooping with a ski mask on. It's not even that cold outside either. What was the thought process there?
So the ski mask, I mentioned it on the show. It covers a few things. If you notice right now, it's fall and I'm covering my ears. I have bad sinuses. When it started to get a little nippy out, see, I'm one of those people, when it started to get under 40, that lures you into a false sense of security. You're outside running and sweating and stuff like that. And the next day, everybody's sniffling and sneezing. I'm not that dude. If you notice, I also had on a hoodie, a zip-up jacket, and an overcoat when we got done.
And you played in like long johns with the sleeves ripped off. Like, your torso was definitely not getting cold. And I will also say this for anyone listening. It really helps to have an NBA player who's 6'8 on your team if you're trying to win a game. Jalen's really good at basketball. Like, this dude can really play basketball. You're playing pickup. He can get you a bucket if you need one. He can definitely get you a bucket if you need one. So much fun.
You got to pick and so choose your spots. Like, I don't want to just go and be like straight bully and
no.
Like, I want to blend in. When I play rec ball, I like to do two things make me happy in rec ball, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Getting rebounds. In my head, when I'm playing rec ball, I'm Dennis Rodman. Because that was the weakness of my game on every level. I ain't rebound. So now, I went from being a 6'8 point guard that played the 2 and the 3 to now I'm a 6'8 power forward center in all rec league runs. That just is what it is. And I ain't gonna be the big dude that don't wanna stand on the baseline, that don't wanna get in the paint. No, I'm down there trying to grab boards.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. And then the second thing that makes me happy is actions. Setting screens and dropping dimes. Those are the things I like to do in rec ball.
Well, I'll say this.
And to answer your question,
I've played with you a bunch.
I was playing with a ski mask on. I gotta answer your ski mask question. I was playing with a ski mask on because it was a combination of a Scully and a mask.
Okay.
That's why that's why I had it on.
Jalen Rose, you have never set a legal screen in pickup. And I've never seen you set a legal screen. I've never seen, like, Jalen will straight up tackle you like he's playing football. Like, he's like the honey badger out there. He'll just full arm wrap around you. Never set a legal screen.
That's
also,
the era we came from, dog. You wasn't fighting over no screens.
3.5 rebounds for your career. 3.5 rebounds, Jay. You got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. You got to do better
I told you. I told you I didn't rebound.
Now I'm looking at the averages over your career.
When I look in the mirror, I see myself. I see myself. So here's the decision. Let me just tell you the decision. Here's the decision, dog. Mm-hmm. I'm a 6'8" primary ball handler and a scorer. Mm-hmm. We have big guys that are physically imposing in the paint, who get top dollar to grab rebounds and be a physical presence in front of the hoop. It's my job to get the ball on the run and get out on the break, because that's where I shine. So if the long rebound, like if I play in today's game, I get 7 rebounds because there are more long shots.
Yep, shoot more.
You
three.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then you had to actually go into the paint and actually get a board. And how am I going to beat everybody down the floor if I just got a rebound and I'm 92 feet away from the other hoop? I'll never get a fast break point. So I had to make a decision. Point. I'm at the hash mark. I'm at the 3-line. And soon as somebody think about getting the board, outlet. Because I'm open. Because my man sometimes go get offensive boards because I'm not boxing out.
That's what I was about to say.
So it's not only 3.5.
I'm sure that at some point on that Pacer team, like Dale Davis seeing a ball coming his way, and then he just watched someone flash in front of him, not boxed out, and grab the ball from him, and he turns over his shoulder, and he sees you 30 feet from the basket, like, oh, that's Jalen's man right there.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I guess I got to worry about him, too. Can't just box out my own guy.
Yes. Correct. Because you stick your hand in there or your face, Dale Davis will break your nose trying to swat at that ball. But every now and then, though, when your man get the rebound, that's when it look bad. That's when it look bad. You at the hash mark, and he like at the free throw line, and you in recovery mode, and you pointing like, yo.
You play 41
minutes
a game.
But once I got the outlet, though,
and got 5 rebounds. That was your high point. 5 rebounds was your high point in 2000-2001 when you were with the Pacers. 5 rebounds is respectable. But in 41 minutes, you got to get 5.
That can't be true.
I'm looking at it, dog. I'm looking at
it
right
now. That can't be.
What do you think the numbers are lying?
Not a game. You're talking about average. You're talking about average or a game.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I meant. Average. In your, for all your seasons, your highest average per season was 5 rebounds a game in 41 minutes.
How many assists I averaged that year?
6. It's good too.
Boom. Always more assists than rebounds. And by the way, that was a year where Jalen Mashburn and the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant were the only players in the league averaging 20 points with 5 boards and 5 assists. That just shows you how far the game has changed.
Yeah.
The only guys in the league that year to do that. I should have made the All-Star team that year.
Demetrius wants to know what you would average in today's game.
In today's game, Demetrius just asked in my ear. Respectfully, I've averaged 20 in the league a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've averaged over 15 a few times. So that means I put 5 points on it. I put 5 points on any on an average year. Another 3 and 1 more free throw.
Well, I'll say this, your game would be very different. Your game would be very different. Your game was very much for your era. Because it's a lot of 8-footers and turnarounds and post-ups. We'll see. Jalen. There's a rapper by the name.
My jumper wasn't wet initially. But around 2000, my jumper got wet, dog. And let me teach you something else about shooting. From all phases, 2001, I led the league in points on the baseline. I did. That's because I had post moves and a turnaround J. We only shot like a couple of threes a game. You miss 2 or 3, you off them. You made 1 or 2, you try a couple of more. I had a game where I made 7 threes in a game. I had a game where I had 6 blocks. That was early in my career when they was trying to make me Gary Payton. I had 6 blocks in a game. I'm like, I ain't supposed to have 6 blocks. I got in the car, I'm good. My shoulder was sore. I never got put the hand on the ball one time. I'm like, man, I'm good.
There's a rapper by the name
I want to find another role, Coach.
YNW Melly, right? And he is incarcerated at the moment. So for his birthday, what his mother and girlfriend conspired to do is in an adjacent building to where he is incarcerated at Broward County Jail, they had strippers. And they put on a stripper show for him in an adjacent building that he could see while he was incarcerated. Your thoughts, Mr. Rowe?
My thoughts is find you family and friends that love you like they love him. That's my thoughts. Like, that's love. See, there's so many different labors of love. Like, some people do it physically. Some people do it by, you know, giving gifts. Some people do it by saying please and thank you or whatever. They knew his labor of love, and they delivered. Now, don't you think he was enthusiastic about that? Don't you think that got him cred on the yard? You know a couple of other people got a chance to see, too.
Oh, yeah. It was not a private show. Oh, yeah. The COs, everybody. Everybody was looking. Jalen, we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
This hat is dope. I'm about to be wearing this every day.
No, it's not that dope.
We're not done. We're not done. The checkers on it and the colors match your current shirt. We're not done.